Spirit. And we also, when we're working with the Holy Spirit. And I want to cover praying in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, two separate lessons. But today is really an introduction to praying and walking in the Spirit. Today, it was too much to try to put the rest of it together. So today is just an introduction to that. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that I can of my own self do nothing, but we thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing the word through me to bless all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. The purpose of the next three lessons is going to be for us learning to live our lives walking and praying in the Spirit. That's really how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live our lives walking, well, I'm going to put praying first, praying and walking in the Spirit, because we really can't walk in the Spirit unless we first learn to pray in the Spirit. That really helps us walk in the Spirit. But how do we live this life in the Spirit? Since our life is supposed to be lived in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to be living in Him, interacting every day, our spirit with His Spirit, you know, doing whatever we need to do through and in the Holy Spirit. How do we live life like that? One of the things, in order to live our life in the Spirit, we have to learn to be consistent in prayer. I don't mean any old kind of prayer. You know, we can just pray, not any old kind of prayer. I mean, not really praying sincerely from our hearts. But we can pray in the Spirit with our understanding, and we also can pray with the Spirit in tongues. We need to do both. Paul said do both. You know, pray in the Spirit, which Paul meant praying in tongues, and also pray with the understanding. But we need to realize we can pray with the understanding and still be praying in the Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit give you words to say and words to pray, and it's with the understanding, it's still in the Spirit. You're still in the Spirit. But in order to be consistent in praying in the Spirit, I'm going to talk about something today that we probably don't want to hear, but we need to hear it. In order to be consistent in praying in the Spirit, we also need to learn how to deny ourselves. Deny the flesh. Deny ourselves. Some call this crucifying the flesh. But the word says what? We have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. So I never really, since I found out the truth, I never really agreed that we had to crucify the flesh, because the word said we've been crucified with Christ. So really, if you believe that, you've already been crucified. The flesh has already been crucified. It was crucified with Christ. But we need to what? Deny that flesh. We need to deny, like Jesus said. We have been crucified with Christ, Paul said, but nevertheless we live. We're going to go over that again. Most of us don't really know what this really means. What did Jesus say? And what does the Bible say? Okay. First of all, let's go to John 1, 12. First chapter of John, verse 12. First chapter of John, verse 12. Praying and walking in the Spirit. In verse 12, in Luke, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, or sons of God, to those who believe in his name. To as many as received him, as many as received Christ as their Lord and Savior, he gave what? He gave us the right to become children of God. The New King James Version says, but the King James Version says sons of God. To those who what? Believe in his name. We've been given that right. And next verse says, who were born not of blood. That blood was, I was born of blood when I was born to my mom and daddy. Nor of the will of the flesh. many people decide to have children. Nor of the will of man, still talking about flesh, but of God. We were born of the Spirit by the will of God. You're here because God spoke you into existence. He decided we would be here. And the Holy Spirit was there, you know, making sure the word of God came to pass. The Lord said, I want me a Donnie. Holy Spirit said, okay. He went into action. So Donnie could be born. I want me a Mary. A Mary Pettiford. I want me a Mary Sutton. I want me a Gracie. We were all born by the will of God. The natural birth was by the will of God. Guess what? The spiritual birth was also by the will of God. We had no choice about the natural birth, but we have a choice about our spiritual birth. It was the will of God that we all be born again, but we have a choice. We have to accept that. We have to receive that. I heard someone say on a show I was looking at about some new doctrine about grace that said everybody was saved, they just didn't know it. Well, that sounds like it could be right, but it's totally wrong. You know, everybody has salvation has been acquired for everybody, provided for everybody, but you got to receive it. You got to receive it. It's not automatic. You're not automatically saved because Jesus died on the cross. You have to believe. You have to receive. You have to believe. You have to receive. Let's look at John 6:63. I don't want to set up stuff before I get to the denying self and taking up the cross. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. It's the Holy Spirit that gives life. It's the Holy Spirit that gives life. And the Holy Spirit is what? The Spirit of God. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Then Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They are life. The word of God contains the life of God in it, and we receive it by Holy Spirit. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Now, we can speak words, but our words don't always have spirit and life in them. But Jesus, everything he said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They're spiritual words. They bring life to you. They give you life. They give your body life. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. One time the Lord condemned me about my words. Because I said something to someone. And what I said, it wasn't wrong. You know, it wasn't a lie or nothing like that. But it had no life in it. And so the Holy Spirit said, what you're saying doesn't have life in it. You should be speaking life, not death. And if we're not speaking life, it's either death, and then sometimes stuff is just vain. It doesn't profit you anything. It doesn't have any life in it. You know, it's just vain words. Sometimes we can do things that are just vain. You know, there's no life in it. We just do it because we want to do it. We can watch a lot of things on TV that are just vain stuff. There's no life in it. Doesn't help us one bit in our walk with the Lord. But Jesus, everything Jesus said, everything he spoke, all his words were spirit and life. If he said something to you today, it's spirit and life. It builds you up spiritually. It edifies you. It gives you life. Everything Jesus said is spirit and life. Because the Spirit gives life. The flesh don't profit, but the spirit gives life. Amen. So let's talk about denying self and taking up our cross. Denying self and taking up our cross. Let's go to Matthew 16, 24. And Matthew talked about this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talked about the same thing. They said it a little differently, but they all talked about denying ourselves, which is the flesh, and taking up our cross and following him. Jesus never said crucify the flesh. He knew he was going to be crucified for us. But he told us to deny ourselves. Let's look at Matthew 16, 24. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, we all want to follow Jesus, don't we? All of us want to be his disciples. All of us want to come after Jesus. You know, even some folks that ain't even saved yet want to come after Jesus. But you got to be saved first. You know, because some religions think he's a great teacher, but they don't recognize him being the Son of God. If anyone desires to come after me, first you got to have a desire for Jesus. In order to follow him, you got to have a desire for him. Let him, the person that's coming after Jesus, deny himself. When it says deny himself, deny your own desires and what you want. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. It says his cross. But it's talking about our cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Deny yourself. Take up the cross. Follow Jesus. Say no to your own self, your own desires, what you want, what you think is best. Take up the cross. Take up whatever you know you're supposed to do to follow Jesus. Take up whatever he said for you to do. Take up whatever the word is saying to you. And then follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Everybody's cross is different. We don't all have the same cross. We don't all have the same thing we got to pick up in order to follow Jesus. You know. For an example, deny yourself, okay? Maybe you want to, I'm going to use this for an example. Maybe you have this person you want to marry. You just, that's what you want to do. That's your desire. You want to follow Jesus, but you want to marry this person. Then why don't the Holy Spirit tell you, no, that's the wrong person. Don't marry that person. Don't marry that person. So what do you got to do? Deny yourself. Deny what you want to do. Then take up the cross. What's take up the cross? Walk your life out without marrying that person right then. Believing that God going to work it out. Believing that your emotions going to, you're going to get over it. Believing that God knows best. That's the cross. That's the cross in that particular instance. You know, walking this thing out, then saying no to my desire because Jesus said no. Take up my cross. Follow him. Follow him. And there's other instances too. Suppose there's a job you want. Maybe you had two jobs. One you want and one you don't particularly want. Okay. The one you don't particularly want, the Holy Spirit saying, take that job. Not the one you really want. You know. So what do you got to do? You got to deny yourself that desire you have for that job you want in order to take the one that Jesus wants you to have. And you got to pick up your cross. You got to work on a job that you really don't like right now. You got to do something you really don't like right now. That's a cross. That's a cross. Anytime you got to do something that you really don't particularly want to do or like doing, But the Holy Spirit says, do it. That's a cross. That's a cross. But in order to follow Jesus, in order to walk in the Spirit, you got me and you, all of us, we got to learn to deny ourselves. We can never walk in the Spirit. We can never do and walk in that God wants to walk in unless we first learn how to deny ourselves. And I like it because one of these versions says, take up your cross daily. Take it up daily. You mean I can't, it's not just a one-time thing? You mean I got to do this thing on a daily basis? You mean I got to keep denying myself every time the Holy Spirit tells me to deny myself? I got to do it daily, but I don't like it. My flesh don't like it. When I tell my flesh no, it does not like it. When I want some chocolate cake, I done ate two slices, and my flesh says, I want another slice. And Holy Spirit says, you done had enough. You don't need no more cake. I got to deny myself and not eat anymore. And when I do that, I got to take up my cross. No more cake, flesh. I know you're crying. I know you want it. But no more cake. No more cake. No more cake. And sometimes, you know, Holy Spirit won't even say nothing to us. He let us learn the hard way. And then you will be thinking, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have did that. And Holy Spirit said, no, you sure shouldn't have did that. So we got to learn to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. And let's look at Mark 8:35. I'm going to go to Mark. Matthew says the same thing, but I'm gonna go to Mark right here. Mark 8:35. Sometimes denying ourselves is easy. And sometimes denying ourselves is not easy. But you're going to find out later on that we always have help in denying ourselves. It's not that we got to put forth this big effort and struggle if we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. Mark 8:35 says this, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Denying ourselves to look like or feel like at the moment it's going to turn out right or be right. But here it says it will be. If we're doing it for the sake of the gospel, anytime we're being obedient unto the Lord and walking in the Spirit, that's for the sake of the gospel. It could be just for the sake of the gospel in our own life, but it could be for the sake of the gospel in somebody else's life. So we'll save it. We'll save our lives that way. The 36th verse says, but what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So watch the soul. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind, our will, and our emotion is our soul, our will. Our will is the part of our soul. Our mind is part of our soul. Our emotions. Let's talk about our will. How can one lose his will? How can you lose your soul and lose your will, lose your mind, lose your emotions? How does it happen? It happens when we do not deny ourselves, but we allow our soul to be given out to something for a pleasure. Sometimes people do it for money. I mean, they sell their soul for money. They don't do what they know is right. They deny what's right and give their will over to doing what's wrong in order for money or pleasure. And to the point that after a while, if you keep doing that, after a while, you have sold your will. Your will is no longer yours. Your will automatically goes for whatever you sold out to. So you lose your own soul, you lose your own desire. That's when that happens, that's when deliverance comes in. That's when somebody needs to be delivered. When you no longer have control of your own will in certain situations. It could be overeating, it could be drugs, it could be a sexual thing, it could be it could be a demonic spirit, which all those other things I named could be a spirit in that too. But it's when you give your desire constantly over, your will constantly over to something you know you're not supposed to do, to after a while, your will automatically goes that way. It automatically goes that way. And that thing has to be broken. It has to be broken. And none of us want to lose our own soul. And if you're a Christian, that doesn't mean you're not born again. But it means you have given your will over to something that now that thing needs to be broken. And you can have your own will back and give your will over to the Lord. Never, and that's how cults are work, how cults work. A cults work that same way. They trick people into giving their will over to them. To where now you no longer think for yourself. The cult thinks for you. You just do whatever the cult say do. And that's sad. That's sad. That 37th verse said, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Really, we should be not sell our soul out for anything. The only person worthy of our soul is Jesus. Because the word of God said, what? We've been bought with a price. We've been bought with a price. We that are born again, we've been bought with a price. Jesus paid that price with his own body for us. To redeem us. To redeem us. So our souls will not be lost. Because before we were born again, all of us, our souls were lost to sin. We automatically did stuff. But now we've been redeemed. Now we're born again. Now we have the power to deny ourselves and say no. Because just because you're born again does not mean you don't have to deny yourself and say no. We still have to do that on a daily basis. I like what Luke 9:24 says in the Passion Translation. It says, Jesus said to all his followers, if you desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely, embrace my cross as your own, and surrender to what? My ways. Surrender to my ways. That's what the Passion said for Luke 9:24. Surrender to my ways. Surrender to his ways. And so what? Denying ourselves can be just as simple as denying yourself your ways. And then surrendering to the ways of the Lord. Following whatever Holy Spirit leads you to do. Follow Holy Spirit. Follow Holy Spirit. Follow Holy Spirit. Okay. Follow Holy Spirit. We might think we can do things in the flesh. We might think we can profit by doing things in the flesh. We might think if we allow our flesh to have its way, it's going to work out fine for us. You know, but it's not. It's not. This scenario came up to me, and I know some of y'all might play the lottery, but this came up. I'm going to say it anyway because Holy Spirit, it's on my mind. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, I'll play the lottery. It don't cost much money. But, you know, whatever money you put on that lottery, and however many tickets you buy, this money could be used for something else. You know, money could be put on somewhere else. You can put it in the kingdom. or some help somebody that needs some help. But we think, okay, I'm going to play the lottery. If I win the lottery, I can do this and this and this and that and the other. You know, first place, playing the lottery means you ain't trusting God. You trusted winning that lottery ticket. It's a matter of trust. First off, you know, who are you trusting? Winning the lottery or you're trusting Jesus? You know, but many people get the lottery ticket and they win. And then they're just as broke as they was before, or in debt and worse off than it was before after winning the lottery ticket. They lose it all. They lose it all. So playing a lottery probably is a temptation, but we have to deny ourselves and trust Jesus. I remember when I used to play the publisher clearing house thing all the time. I did. I'm going to win that publisher clearing house, whatever it was you want, a house or something. I forgot what you want. And then the Holy Spirit let me know, now, that's not trusting God. Gambling is never trusting God. And we don't think stuff like that is gambling. It's still gambling. It's still gambling. And it's not trusting God. Amen. Matthew 26:41 says this. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The passion says, keep alert. Pray that you'll be spared from this time of testing. You should have learned by now that your spirit is eager enough, but humanity is weak. Our flesh is weak. So what? We cannot listen to our flesh. We have to deny flesh. It never tells us in the Bible to listen to flesh. It always says deny flesh. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying about it? What is the Holy Spirit saying about it? And you know what? I denied myself that we used to go by that publishing clearing house stuff, but I denied myself that. I don't even think about that no more. I don't even think about it no more. And I'm not saying that drinking soda is wrong, but it was wrong for me because they weren't good for me. And I drank too many of them. And I had to stop drinking sodas. I don't even think about those sodas now. I don't think about the Mountain Dews and the Pepsis. First, I stopped the Pepsis. Then I had to stop the Mountain Dews. And I got a sister that has to have her Pepsi every day. And she knows she needs to stop. I think she's trying to stop. But and my brother Mountain Dew, he likes the Mountain Dew. He have to have his Mountain Dew every day. Not Donnie. Not Donnie. But we all have those things where if we look at our lives, we can deny flesh. We need to start denying flesh. And it's not that God is all. It's not just going to stop us from going to heaven. We're still going to go to be with Jesus. We're still saved. We're still born again. But we're in that area, what? We're walking in the flesh and not the spirit. And we need to learn to deny flesh and trust God. Trust him. Trust him. The spirit indeed is willing. Our spirit man is willing. But the flesh is weak, so we cannot trust that flesh. I like what 1 Peter says in 5, 8, 9, and 9. 1 Peter says this, and I think verse 10 too. 1 Peter 5 and 8, New King James Version says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Temptation's going to come, but we must learn to deny the flesh. Be sober, be vigilant, be watchful, be watchful. You know, if you're not a sober, a person that's not sober can be easily taken advantage of if they're drunk and not sober. But if you're sober and you're watching and you're vigilant, then You're not easily taken advantage of. The enemy can't come in and take advantage of you because you're watching. And the Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I was reading something from Joseph Prince that says undevourable. That's not a word, but he made it up. Undevourable. We need to be undevourable, where the devil cannot come in and devour us because we're watching. And then the word of God said, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The world suffering the same thing we're going through. Don't think because people in the world are devil leaving them alone. He is not leaving them alone. There are people in the world that are having all kinds of stuff happening to them too, just like they are us. But we can resist the enemy. And then the next verse is, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God is called a God of all grace. We have all the grace we need to resist temptation. We just have to be willing and deny. Once we do that, grace kicks in. The grace of God kicks in because God's the God of all grace. And it might be a little suffering denying yourself for a while, but the word of God says here, after you have suffered a while, you will be perfected, established, strengthened, and God will settle you. He'll settle you. He will settle you. Am I settled from those public clearinghouse sweepstakes? Yes, I am. I mean, I'm settled. It don't bother me anymore. The grace of God did that. The grace of God did that. He strengthened me. He established me in that area. So we all have grace to resist temptation. All of us, all of God's children, we have grace every day to resist. I like what Hebrews 4:16 says. It said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If I deny myself, I can come boldly to the throne of grace and I will find mercy and grace to help me in my time of need. Do we need him to help us and grace to help us when we're denying our flesh? Yes, we do. But the great thing is we have it. We have it. We have it. We have it. Galatians 2:20 says this. I really, really love this verse. This is what Paul said. Now we're going to talk about, we've been crucified with Christ. So what we have to do is what? Deny our flesh. Deny our flesh. And when people say crucify the flesh, they probably saying deny the flesh. Galatians 2:20, Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We were crucified on the cross with Christ. So the life we now live in our bodies, we live by that same trusting faithfulness that the Son of God had, who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's look at Galatians 5:22, 23 and 24. And 25, I think. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. That's the fruit of our born-again spirit. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. Because now we're one spirit with Christ. There's no separating us from him. We're one spirit with Christ. So therefore, in our spirit man, we have love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness. It's already in us. We don't have to try to get love, or get joy, or get peace, or get long-suffering, or kindness, or goodness, or faithfulness, or gentleness, or self-control. It's in us already. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When did we crucify the flesh? When we accepted Christ, because our flesh was crucified on the cross with Christ. Keep in mind, we who belong to Jesus, the anointed one, have already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Christ. So how do we crucify the flesh? By accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and his sacrifice on the cross. When we did that, our flesh was crucified with Christ. I'm going to read some more about it that tells us that. So now, since my flesh has already been crucified, the old man has been crucified with Christ on the cross, I have to what? Deny that desire or that old man desire to take possession of me anymore. It's not in my spirit. In our mind, we think about it, but we are to say no to it. And what's the thing about it? If we weren't born again, we couldn't say no. But now we're born again, we can say no. I remember when I read the word of God and it registered on the inside of me. And I realized I can say no to sin. I can say no to my flesh. I can say no to desires that are not Christ-like. I don't have to say yes. And I thought about Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. No, the devil can't make us do it. We that are born again, the devil can't make us do it. Our emotions can't make us do it. Nobody can make us do it. We have the power and authority from Jesus Christ to say no, to deny the flesh. Galatians 5:25 says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit because Christ lives on the inside of us. We are spiritual beings. We have been born again and made one spirit with Christ. So we every day we're living in the Spirit. Now we just have to what? Walk in the Spirit. That's how we live. Our life comes from the Spirit of God on the inside of us. This is through the Spirit that we have life. Let us also be through the Spirit. Let it also be that through the Spirit, we order our lives day by day. Since we live in the Spirit, let us every day deny that it's not of God and walk in what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. What's your spirit man saying? What's on the inside of you? Not what your mind is saying. Not what your emotions are saying. What's in your spirit? What's your spirit man saying? Take some time to get still and say, okay, Lord, what's in my heart? What's in my spirit? What's going on inside of me? Look in your spirit. And whatever your spirit is saying to you, that's what you follow. That's what you follow. And you're going to have peace in your spirit. There's not always going to be peace in what your mind is saying. It's not always going to be peace in what your emotions are saying. But it's always going to be peace in what your spirit is telling you to do. You're going to experience peace here in your spirit, man. So follow the Holy Spirit. Follow what's on the inside of you, peace. If your mind is yelling, if your emotion is yelling, deny what your mind is saying. Deny what your emotion is saying and follow what your spirit is saying. Because that's Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Deny all of that stuff and follow Holy Spirit. Romans said we were also buried and raised with Christ. Let's look at Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4. We got to learn to walk in the Spirit, church. We got to learn to walk in the Spirit. We're not going to have victory if we don't walk in the Spirit. We're not going to overcome the things we need to overcome if we don't walk in the Spirit. And the Bible says there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. So I'm not telling you if you do something or are doing something you know that you're not supposed to be doing, that you need to condemn yourself. No. Don't condemn yourself. What do? You bring that thing to the Lord. You come boldly to the throne of grace. You come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't be ashamed or run from God or try to hide anything. You come boldly to the throne of grace. You ain't got to tell me everything. I don't even want to know everything. But you can tell God everything. He wants to know everything. So come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we, what, should walk in newness of life. We were not only crucified with Christ on the cross, I've already told you that in scripture, but we were also, what, buried with him through baptism into death. We were buried with him. And that's what water baptism is all about. It's about us being buried with Christ and raising up in newness of life. And if you're here this morning, you accepted Christ and you have not been baptized in water, you need to be baptized. Because you go down, you're buried with him, and you're raised with him. And Christ commanded us to be baptized. If you die and you're born again before you get baptized, you're still going to heaven. You're not going to not go to heaven because you ain't been baptized in water. Amen. Amen. Because the thief on the cross, he didn't get baptized before he went to paradise. But if you're not the thief on the cross, you ain't dead yet. So if you ain't been baptized, you need to get baptized. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. And Matthew 28:18 commanded us to be baptized. I've been baptized too. Some people get baptized more than one time. The Bible doesn't say you can't get baptized more than one time in the water. I mean, if you want to get baptized again in the water, that's fine. Some people go to Israel, and they want to get baptized in the Jordan River. So they get baptized in the Jordan River, and that's fine. And some people, because they got baptized when they were a child, and they really didn't understand what they were doing, and they got older and accepted Christ, they get baptized again. They don't know what baptism really means. So nothing wrong with getting baptized more than one time. Romans 6:5 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, and we have, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death. And Paul said, if, but if you're born again, you have, you know, united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Certainly, certainly, we will be in the likeness of his resurrection. Then what's Christ's resurrection now? He's resurrected. He's already died on the cross, already been buried, already been raised, sitting on the right hand of the Father. So he's what? In total victory. Total victory. No sickness, no disease. He's already what? Conquered the world, conquered Satan. All power was given unto him. So he gave authority to us. He has defeated every enemy. Every enemy has been defeated. And if every enemy has been defeated by Christ, then every enemy is defeated for us. He's the head, we his body. The word of God said all things been put under his feet. If they're under Christ's feet, who's the feet? Where the feet at? He's the head. So we're the body. So we the arms, the legs, the feet, all of that. So it's under our feet. It's under our feet. Amen. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ, with him. Him means Christ. There it is again. Our old man was crucified with him, with Christ. So have the old man been crucified? Yes, he has. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. The old man has been crucified. The flesh has been crucified on the cross. So we, our job is what? To deny flesh, to deny ourselves. There was a thing about just say no when drugs come out. Just say no. I mean, if you're a drug addict, you might can't just say no. But the thing about us, we can just say no. We can say no. We can say no. Romans 8:10, and if Christ is in you, and he is, if you're born again, he's in you. Because the word of God said, if you have not the spirit of Christ, you're none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. And that's in Romans 8:10. The spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, the body is dead because of sin. Okay, the body is dead. The only way the body can be not be dead is be quickened by the Holy Spirit. But the spirit on the inside of us is life because of righteousness. Because we are what? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Passion says this, now Christ lives his life in you, in me. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. The Holy Spirit, what? Imparts life into us because what? We are accepted by God. We are alive. We're not dead. We are living epistles, the Bible said. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, verse 8:11, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Okay, the Holy Spirit is in me. It's giving us life. It's giving us life. We're living because the Holy Spirit lives in us. We are not dead anymore spiritually. We are fully alive. And because we're fully alive, even though our bodies, our mortal body, because of sin, it still has death, because sickness still tries to get us. That's death. It still tries to get in our bodies. Eyesight tries to go dim. All that's the forms of death. And death came what? Because of sin. But since Christ lives in us, because the Holy Spirit is in us, the Holy Spirit can do what? Give life to my arm and my leg, not just my spirit, man, my arm and my leg and my hand and my eyes and my head and my organs and my shoulder and my joints and whatever. The Holy Spirit gives life to that part of us. It makes that part of us be alive and not dead in sin and pain and sickness. Have we mastered that yet? No. But I hope we're on our way. I hope we're on our way to realize the Holy Spirit is in us and the life of God is in us. And when the Bible tells us to heal the sick, it doesn't say pray for the sick, say heal the sick. Jesus said heal the sick. We kind of sweet, and I've done the same thing. I'm getting out of that though. We try to soften it up by saying we pray for the sick. No, go heal the sick. Go heal the sick. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. Okay, because the life of God is in us, then when we lay our hands on the sick to heal them, the life of God is imparted from us to that person. I've experienced that. When the life of God came out of me and went into that person I was praying for. You know. So if that's the case, then the life of God is in us. We can impart the life of God when we heal somebody. We can impart that same life in our own bodies, in our own parts of our own bodies. And it says the right that he that raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. I like what the Passion says about Romans 8:12. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claim on us at all. Look at the water. The flesh has no claim on us at all. We are not debtors to the flesh, the King James Version says. Thank you, man. We're not debtors to the flesh. We don't have to obey that. We have no obligation to our flesh. We don't owe our flesh anything but the life of God. We don't owe our flesh anything. We're not obligated to the flesh. We don't have to obey the flesh. For if you live, 8:13, Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Whatever area we allow ourselves to live in the flesh, there's death. That area is going to die. But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. Okay. But if what? By the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. It's not by self-effort, but by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. It's by the Holy Spirit it's done. It's by the Holy Spirit it's done. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the sons of God. The Passion Translation said, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. I like that. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit, not the flesh, not the mind, not the emotion, but are moved by what? The impulses of the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God says that we need to be mature believers. Hebrews 5:11-12 lets us know that if we're not mature, then you're dull of hearing. And you can't take the mature word. You need to be fed with milk because you're what? You're unskillful in righteousness. But solid food, talking about the Word of God, belongs to those who are full age. Full age. So we don't want to be children. We don't want to be babes. We don't want to be babies. No one wants to stay babies. Nobody wants a baby to stay a baby. Yeah. Ed don't want Gracie to stay a baby. He wants her to grow up. Nobody wants their child to stay a baby. And God doesn't want us to stay babies. He wants us to grow up spiritually and mature so that we want. We can discern evil and good. Amen. So we need to deny our body, deny our flesh, because really the old man no longer exists. It's dead. And a new person has been resurrected. We need to believe the Bible and say no to every old memory, every desire that's not of God. Holy Spirit gives us the enabling ability to overcome. We just have to be willing through every temptation to depend on the Holy Spirit to deliver us out of that thing and take us through whatever we need to go through. We just have to be willing. This is a daily walk and the way of life in Christ. Hebrews 10:35-36 tells us we are in need of patience, that after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise. We also need consistency. Consistency means we need to do what we need to do all the time on a regular basis. Pray. Read the Word of God, listen to the Holy Spirit, deny our flesh, and keep walking this life in the Spirit. In the Spirit. God would never tell us to do something that He hadn't already given us everything we needed and made it available for us to do it. He's not like that. He's a good Father. He's a good Father. Let's stand. He's a good Father. It's Corinthians that said that with every temptation, God would give us a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. So When temptation comes and you know you need to deny your flesh or deny yourself, look for your way of escape through Jesus. There is one. We just got to look for it and want it. Ask for it. He gives it to us, and it's there. And sometimes I'll pray and ask God for help in the area. And I just ask. I don't beg. I just ask. And then it comes to me a little time later. Okay, that thing is gone. It's gone. God has given me the way of escape I needed, but I didn't dwell on it, didn't get hurt or didn't get offended or you know, whatever. He does that for us. So denying ourselves and walking in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you're so awesome and you're so good to us. And we need you, Lord. We all do. We do all do. We all need you, Lord. None of us are claiming that we're walking in perfection out of those things you put in our spirit man. We're not walking in a new man perfectly, Lord. But God, we thank you that we're walking better than we did a year ago. We have grown, Jesus. And God, we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts and our lives. Help us to say no when we need to say no. Help us to say yes to you, Holy Spirit, when we need to say yes. And that's all the time. And so, Father God, we say thank you for this service today. We thank you for those that are here and those on Zoom. Bless us, God, to receive all that you have for us through your word today. Remind us of what you have said to us. Remind us of the word of God. Bring it back to our remembrance, Holy Spirit, because that's one thing that you do. You bring all things back to our remembrance that Jesus have said. What we read in your word and what has been said to us, God. Holy Spirit, bring it back to our remembrance. Continue to teach us, Holy Spirit. Just because we're leaving now and going our different places doesn't mean that we still don't need to be taught. Continuously teach us. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, God, and we say we want to be taught. We want to receive revelation. We want to walk in all that you have on the inside of us. We want Jesus to get all the rewards of his suffering in our lives. And so for that, God, we say thank you. Bless us and keep us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are there any prayer requests?